Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. Oh, lordy. We are in the dog days of summer. Where has this year gone? It is now August, and it is just hot. It just keeps getting hotter and hotter. And I mean, I moved back to a place where it's not the gates of hell. 11 and a half months of the year.
I need you to shut your hole, sir, because it is the devil's taint here, and I can't get away. Like, unless you are in 100% air conditioning, you will not be comfortable.
That's why my last, like, 8 years there, 7 years there, I worked at a bar at night, and I didn't leave the house during the day. I would literally pry the blinds apart enough to open the back door, let the dogs out, close the blinds back up, and then let them back in, you know? Like, I kept that sun as far away from me as possible. And, you know, yesterday in Chicago, from when we're recording this, it was a high of, I think, 72. it's back up to 80 today, which, I mean, you know, still is like a cooler day in Florida, but... You know, and then it was this past Sunday was like the most humid day I think I've had in Chicago in the 2+ years I've been up here now. And I was like, oh, God, this feels like Florida humidity, because everybody else would be like, it's so humid out. And I walk outside and I'm like, this is nothing. You could tell that people didn't live in Florida for 12 years.
When winter comes, I hope your lips are chapped. I hope your skin is dry, because it is as bad as you think it could have been. It, like, because honestly, our last couple of summers, the past couple of years, they were bad, but they were nowhere near this bad. It is beyond oppressive. And I'm just like, you know, it's sad when you're happy when it's overcast all day and it doesn't rain, so it's not steamy. And it's just like, It's the temperature that it says on your dashboard, on your dash in your car. And you're like, this is wonderful. And then I'm like, no, it's not. It's still bad.
I mean, that's one of the things about moving up here, was when the rain comes in, it usually, like 90% of the time, knocks the temperature down. Like, that's how we'll get like big temperature drops. Mm-hmm. Where in Florida, it rains and it just becomes a sauna. Like, the temperature doesn't move. You now just have, like, 3,000% humidity in the air after the rain.
Hot breath. Just hot breath on your face.
But during the winter, this is why I have humidifiers and I keep chapsticks. So all of those things don't bother me, because it's the trade-off. It's the trade-off to not take a shower and then immediately take another shower and sweat as soon as I step out of the bathtub. So
I have fully embraced. So behind me, actually, you can see it. Those of you listening can't see it. but I have I actually got a dehumidifier for the first time in my life. And this bitch has to be emptied out every 3 days. And when I originally looked at the directions and everything, like, in normal moisture, it should be emptied out every 5 to 6 days. And I'm like, nope. It's every 3 days, or it starts giving me an alarm that it's too full.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's funny. Because I was in Florida for 12 years, I'd never needed a dehumidifiers. Yes. We eventually had one at the Palatial Rosevere Estate, but I never thought of anything else. And then I moved to Chicago, and as an adult, being back in cold weather climates during the winter, I realized that, oh shit, humidifiers are a thing that are needed, because as soon as that heat, central air and forced heat, because I've all central HVAC, that first winter I was up here in 2020, I was like, holy shit, I am so dry right now. My sinuses, my skin, my life, like, it was just horrible. And I was like, okay, humidifier for the bedroom, humidifier for the living room, and just constantly filling that bad boy up with water. Like, I would just make sure that I went through, and I was like, let's just see all this mist into the air. Moisturize me. Oh my god. Well, for those of you who have been listening for the last two minutes of us talking about this, BJ is on the podcast with me today, and actually will be, oh yeah, say hello. Just talk right through that one. But BJ is here, and will be giving us the topic. We are doing if you did not read the title of this episode, it's a, now that's what I call, gay life episode. Normally we dive into some intriguing and interesting topics that are usually a little more personal in nature. And we haven't really done, I think we might have done one since Josh was on the show with us.
We've done like two or three since Josh.
Very few, because Josh is always that buffer. Yeah, because usually, like, I never like to be the focus of any of those, like, really deeply personal ones. And then, you know, having one of our other co-hosts on is awkward for those deeply personal ones. We are deeply personal in our history.
I've been trying to put together like a B team for like, cause like the ones I've done have been very like social construct-y, like, you know, TV shows like that have kind of bridged us into being gay, and like clubs and bars and stuff. But like, I haven't even scratched like the surface of like the really deep ones that I'm like, nobody's going to feel comfortable doing this. I'm like, so I have to find people.
Yeah. So and one of our fellow co-hosts has basically just from the jump been like, nope, these aren't mine. And I'm like, that's one of the things. That's a good thing about this show, is that we have very different, we have a lot of very many overlapping sense of how do I phrase this? Sensibilities, like our topics and things that we like talking about. But we also diverge on a lot of different topics.
Yeah.
And every so often it's nice to be able to, you know, have a couple of us break off and do some of these types of shows. And like when it was you, me, and Josh doing a lot of these, you know, they dove into a whole different realm of what we discuss on the show and what we talk about, which is great. And and for the members of the show who aren't, you know, that's not their jam, that's not what they want to, you know, they want to put out there into the world, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And it gives us, some other stuff to talk about, which, you know, and even if we start doing some of these little offshoots, like doing the recaps, like, as much as I love talking with all of you guys about Drag Race, and, you know, it felt right to do kind of a pit stop-esque version, mm-hmm. and bring on all these new voices. And it's a very pop culture happy hour in the last couple of years, where there's the core cast, but they'll do topics that, you know, they'll bring one member of like the core cast will be the lead person, and then it'll just be, you know, like two other people that want to talk about that topic. So,
yeah,
you know, when we do those types of things, it's great. And, you know, if you grab a couple of people that want to, you know, dive into some more of these deeply personal or different style topics, you know, we may start to see that more in the feed. So we were putting together, this is actually kind of an odd space when it comes down to it. We put out a lot of content over the last 10 weeks, roughly, with the recaps being a weekly thing. God. Then, so that was a weekly endeavor for 11 weeks that I was putting out weekly content. When I didn't have to do one this week, I was thrilled because it's a little bit of a break. Not that I didn't love talking about Drag Race, you know, All-Star 7, even though it had a very odd trajectory at the ending, it was still a great season with a lot of really great queens. And that was fantastic to talk about. But then July also had an additional Friday. So normally we double up our micros at the beginning of the month and then do the roundup at the end. But it was also our 300th episode. I think like this is episode, I think 306, you know, after that. So we're pumping out the content on the main feed, and some stuff has come up and things have changed in my life. So I'm going to really take a focus and really get our Patreon stuff sorted out. So for those of you listening that are our patrons that have stuck by us and have realized that we're a lot behind on on our stuff, I appreciate you so much for sticking around and still supporting us. And we will be getting that caught up. We'll be getting your nuggies updated. We may need to figure out something for those sip of teas. Why So Spicy's will be getting updated. All of that's going to be really that's my focus over the next 2 weeks, is really just getting us caught up on that. And I have some extra time now to be able to focus on the Patreon side of everything. And we may make some changes because Oral is I actually saw Oral a couple of weeks ago. For those podcast listeners that go back with us to the Oral days, he's doing amazingly well and loving his new life in the skies, and he looked great. I had a blast seeing him for the short layover that he had here in Chicago, but it's also really difficult at this point in time to get those. It was always difficult to get a sip of tea with Orals done because he always, like, you know, that boy was always grinding and, you know, working as much as he could. But now with him being in a new city, you know, no sleep, another club, a bus, a train, a plane, you know, like now that he's on the move so much, it's really difficult. So we may be adjusting that, but we will get you all that content. This has been a long intro into this whole thing.
I mean, it's
10 minutes of chatting.
It's always good. I was going to say that it's needed. You got to update. Because honestly, every other podcast that I listen to, they go through this time where they're like, hey, guys, sorry, I know we're late. Like, there's tons of changes, cast has changed, people are moving, and like it's the thing I like about podcasts, because the thing when I first started listening to podcasts before I was even on one, I was like this seems kind of processed, and then afterwards I was like, holy shit, these are people. These are before the episode starts, I'm like, no, that's a person like explaining to you that, hey, I'm not an actual like mega $1 million producer, and I don't have people to like do this shit for me when I can't do it. So no, you need these long intros to kind of like sort things out before you get to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, this has always been a labor of love. This podcast doesn't bring in thousands upon thousands of dollars for us. You know, really the only money that we make is what our gracious patrons pledge over on Patreon. And you know, when we did the switchover for the different levels, and you know, as people have adjusted, you know, adjusting up and down depending on their circumstances, and if somebody stops being a patron for whatever reason, you know, we understand that. But really, you know, we're not a sibling rivalry. We're not, you know, Willem with, you know, the Race Chaser kind of funnel of, you know, fans over to the Patreon, to Willem's Patreon. where we're just, you know, inundated with all of these followers and all these people, you know, pouring money into the show. We just do this when we have time, and we make time. I make us make time to do this.
It's but, funny. I definitely sit by the chat group a lot more than like I let on, because I think 9 times out of 10, whenever you're like, when are we recording? I'm like the first one to be like, I'm free these days. I'm like, these are my time. I'm usually like a little bit. I'm like, I feel like when I go back and reread the chat, I'm like, man, I clearly have nothing going on, do I?
I mean, I'm the same way. I hate notifications lingering. So if I see a message, I'll either have to swipe it completely away, so that way it takes the notification away. But then if I do that, I forget to respond. But I'm usually like, okay, yeah, let's chat. Usually it's the only time I really don't is when we send links back and forth. Like, that's the only time that it's usually a little, you know, sometimes not as quick, but, but yeah, but we're going to get caught up on all of that. There have been some major life changes, going on, at least on my end. We're going to make sure that we get caught up. I will make sure that we get caught up on everything. I know there is a lot to get caught up on. We're going to have to do some mega recording sessions. Like, let's get our 15-minute noogie topics.
I mean, honestly,
there's gonna be time in that shit.
Honestly, the intro for this episode could be a noogie.
It's all noogie.
just a noogie, so that way everybody knows like stuff's coming.
Right.
See, we just did it. We just made it happen.
There you go. Well, that is a little bit about what's going on, and a little intro of, you know, weather. We've talked weather, we've talked Patreon updates, we've talked updates on Oral. But let's dive into the topic at hand. I already kind of gave away the lead, and I mean the episode title will be there as well, but this is a now that's what I call a gay life episode. So BJ, I'm going to hand it off to you to tell the listeners what we are going to be discussing, and let's get chatting.
Well, back in my day, homosexuals. So I was thinking about this a while ago, because I know we've chatted about how bars have changed and how they have to kind of evolve. But it was funny because a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Mike, I always ask him, I'm like, how old are you? And he's like, how dare you? How very dare you, sir? And I'm like, bitch, everybody wants a daddy now. So what? Why is that a problem? And it was funny because I was like, oh, my God, that used to be a problem. That used to be something like your gay life was over when you turned 28. Or 30, but that number has gradually moved back. Like now your gay life is just getting started at like 40. So it's and Pat just made a face, and I'm like, but like we've kind of been programmed to be like, oh my God, my life is over. And I'm like, I've got a friend that's just like on his fifth long-term relationship and like might get engaged, but he's pushing 48, and it's just like, I'm here. This is my life now. So it's just one of those things where I just wanted to like, I realize expectations for gay people are all over the fucking place when we're not directly under attack from the Republicans or, you know, just crazy people in general. You know, sometimes we're under attack from our own community and from ourselves. And it's just one of those things to kind of do a check-in and be like, do I even care if I'm getting older? Like, you know, am I excited to get older? Do I kind of wish I was younger? I mean, everybody generally kind of wishes they were younger so they can make better decisions. But I don't know. I think, honestly, I'm to a point to where I kind of like where I am right now. So, I mean, I definitely want more. But so, Pat, I have to ask, when you were a baby gay, how much did it weigh on your mind when you, like, were you like, oh my God, I'm 22. I need to have my husband in the Hamptons and my children at my feet by now. Or were you just like, just trying to survive your gay life when you were like in your early 20s?
I think I was just trying to survive what was going on. I am a child born in the early 80s that lived in New York going into the new millennium. So I don't even think I had started going to, no, because I had started, my first boyfriend, I was only 19 when we met. Let me see. Hold on. Let me do the math. Yes, I was a month out from turning 20. So I hadn't even started going to bars. I had not, like, I didn't have a gay life. My gay life was chatting with randos on AOL. Like, that was just kind of how it was, you know, doing the whole ASL and, you know, at 17 going to hook up with 28-year-olds, because, you know, nothing says underage sex like, you know, internet hookups.
For those of you youngins, ASL is age, sex, and location. Just
so yeah, you know. I mean, it could have been worse. I could have said A/S/L ? But when I started talking to Chris, I'm not even gonna like negate the names. no big names here. I don't think anybody would be able to go that far back and track it all down. There's homosexuals out there with computers. I'm sure y'all can track it down.
I don't know. Chris is a pretty common name, especially for that time frame.
Yeah. But we met online, and like I said, it was September of 2001. And I was a 19-year-old, essentially closeted kid from Long Island. And we met. And we started, like, we went the stereotypical lesbian route, and we're dating within, like, a matter of days. But 2 days after we started dating was 9/11. And he worked at the towers. And he was at my house the night before. And I convinced him not to go to work the next day. Like,
no, really?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know this story, huh?
No.
Holy
shit.
So my dad worked across the street from the towers on Water Street and was at work that day. And had to walk from Manhattan back to Long Island because he couldn't get out of the city. But he's fine. Like, you know, he made it out without a problem. But yeah, my first boyfriend worked for Deutsche Bank at the top of Tower 2.
Oh my god.
And was still closeted, just, "Hey mom, this is my friend Chris. We're gonna go hang out in my room. Bye." And we were hanging out on September 10th. We literally had it, like, made it official, like when I say we do the stereotypical lesbian thing, like, we met on the 5th and we were like dating, like, we made it official on the 9th, like, "Hey, be my boyfriend." And was at my house on the 10th, and his brother and sister-in-law and niece were flying in from out of state the next morning, and he's like, "I just don't want to go to work." And I was like, "Well, then just call out." You know, like, and this is me, 19-year-old me, who never called out. Like, I didn't call out because, you know, bitch was living at home and needed money. Like, I wanted to have money, and I never did. Like, and I was like, "Oh yeah, just call out. Yeah, lend your parents the car, your car, because it's bigger, and go, like, have them go pick up your, you know, your brother and sister-in-law and the baby. Like, you should do that." And then the next morning I got up and got myself ready for work and put on whatever CD I was listening to, drove myself over to McDonald's to get breakfast, and it was Tuesday, September 11th. The Glitter soundtrack was out that morning. So,
oh my god,
when I tell you, I remember this shit. And I went to McDonald's, and that was the point where, like, I flipped over from the CD to the radio, and Stern was on, and I wasn't really paying attention to it, But that was when Stern was reporting about like what was going on. And I drove across the street to Target, bought glitter, and got in my car, and then got back in and turned the radio on. And that was the point where the first tower had been hit, but the do you remember the whole thing where Bush was reading to kids in the classroom?
Yeah.
And one of his staff came in and told him what happened. Literally, that was what was being reported when I got back in the car, was about that. And I still did not process what was going on, like, at all. And I got to work, and that's when I found out what had happened. And I was freaking the fuck out because, you know, this is, like, early day. Like, this is 2001. Like, this isn't...
Yeah.
We weren't as instantly connected. We were still connected, but not as...
Yeah, but nowhere near
deeply entrenched. Yeah, like essentially you could just think about somebody and they're getting that message, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
And I eventually got a hold of him, and he had called out that morning. So in my early life, and you know, it was a super toxic relationship. I literally look back on it, and I've been unpacking a lot of trauma from that, you know, mm-hmm. with last year being the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and all that. There's a lot that I hadn't really unpacked from it. But going back to being a 19, 20, 21 year old in those couple of years with my first boyfriend, we were on and off. I look back and I can seriously sit there and say it was a toxic relationship. That just went on for way too long, and we both let it. Both of us played a really bad part in why it was so toxic, but that's for a whole different therapy podcast to break down. But I wasn't worried about like the American dream of, you know, having a spouse and a house with a white picket fence, and I mean that is very much the Long Island American dream.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back 20 years on, I look at how warped that bubble is. And, you know, we always talk about how like New York gets tagged for being this, you know, liberal coastal elites like haven.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And parts of it are. Manhattan has millions upon millions of people on the island of Manhattan. But you break down into the other islands, Staten Island, Long Island, it is so ridiculously Republican, conservative, closed-minded, racist. And I mean, my family's there. Like, and I love my family, but it's very 1950s America in the mindset of it all. And it was never something where I sat there and was like, this is what my dream is. Mind you, I also haven't had a lot of relationships. So there is a romanticized version of life that mm-hmm. I've had for a long time, but it hasn't necessarily been something that I really ever thought could happen. You know, before I moved, Josh and I had this conversation. And I've literally only had, when it comes down to like real actual relationships, I could probably count them on one hand. You know, from the time, yeah. from my first boyfriend at 19 to me being, you know, 40, almost 41 year old, I've had less than a handful of relationships. The only one that I thought could have been, you know, that whole fantasy of everything mm-hmm. was the last one, and that did not end well.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, thinking back to what you were saying in kind of teeing up the topic, youth is wasted on us because we don't know what's ahead.
Yeah.
But when we look back, you know, is there a part of me that wishes I could redo things with the knowledge I have now? Yeah. Yeah. Because I think it would, you know, I would like to have less difficulties in life. I would like to be able to make better choices for myself. But I also look at, for the most part, where I'm at in my life, and I go, the people that I'm friends with, the people that I've chosen to be my family, the people that, you know, the things that I've done, would I trade that? Would I trade that away? Because that's not the me that would probably come out of all of this if I went back and I changed everything.
And it's scary to think that. Like, you think about, even if it's just a small change, like, something could have, you could, like, if you could change anything, the ripple effect of that, you might not have ever moved to Florida. You might have never left New York. It's just one of those things where it's a little bit creepy to think about, because and it's one of those things where you are living the meat suit and skeleton that you are piloting right now. That is the result of your choices, consequences, and just how you've experienced life. So it's one of those things when you talk about like fantasizing, because that's really, a lot of people don't understand that. When you think about where you want to be, like, you know, you, most people know kind of like, oh, I need to work harder, or I need to make more money. Like, you know, the basics of how to get to that idealized version of like your older self. But then you think about, like, it's not just a set path. Like, it's not just like, oh, if I do this, and I was going to say, definitely you and me in our generations, like, we've definitely been told, you do this, you get this, you do this, you get this. But now we're at a massive crossroads right now, where like, nothing is what our parents thought it was going to be. Nothing is what anybody thought it was going to be. And that's one of those things where you add that layer of like, you know, I'm gay dead at 30. Oh no. And it's like, that's we're dealing with a lot of shattering of norms right now. So it's one of those things where a lot of, I was going to say, you're Generation X. I'm an elder millennial.
Technically not. I'm technically a millennial.
Oh, so you're an elder millennial like me. So I'm
a geriatric millennial. Yes. I have some years on you on that, but yes. And it's weird because so I'm born in 81, and I'm in a, like, 78 to 82 kind of is this weird transitional. And that's why it's so difficult when you talk about the generations, because it's not black and white on how all this goes, because there is that carryover, because I very much am a Gen X in a lot of ways. You know, how I was raised, like the core values of what like the Gen X grew up with, that's what I grew up with. But from the standpoint, I'm also one of the early adopters of the internet and technology. So I've always loved, there was an article that I read that classified 78 to 82 as the Oregon Trail generation. Because it encompassed so much of Gen X, but then the early aspects of what are considered millennials. Mm-hmm. And but I'm definitely, yeah, the geriatric millennial, which I elder millennial, geriatric millennial, I hate it all.
I remember the headline. Yeah. it's weird because with me, it was funny because so the way my family operates is the sky will open up, Cthulhu will be munching on people, and like my mom will be like, everything's fine. Like, I need to go buy bananas for banana bread. And I'm like, no, that's not how things work. So it's one of those things where it was drilled into me so much that it's like, you go to college, you meet somebody, you get married, you have babies. And it was one of those things where it was drilled in, and any deviation from that track was like, it was met with like abject fear and terror. I ruined Thanksgiving once by saying I was thinking about becoming an internal affairs member of the police department in Atlanta, and like, that ruined Thanksgiving for everybody for like the next 10 years. And so it was one of those things where I get to college. Like, in high school, I was pretty aware that I was gay. But I was like, nope, we're just going to put this in a little box. And we're going to put that box in a box. And then we'll mail it to ourselves when we're 28. And it was one of those things where, like, all my close friends were really, really gentle with me on it, which was great. That was one of the things that I always look back, and I'm like still friends with those people now. And a lot of them ended up being queer. So, but it was one of those things where, like, I had this idea, like, literally it was on a train track. I get to college and I'm like, oh no. Here we go. I'm definitely gay. This isn't good. But then it went like, oh, I'm gay. Oh, I'm a furry. I'm like, I don't know anybody that like has a 401k that's gay and a furry. Like, I don't have any like mentors. And then I meet two mentors and both of them are Republican. And I'm like,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm like, you guys can only take me so far. So I was hitting a lot of walls, and I honestly didn't even think about like then. And then it's like, I'm 28 and I'm still trying to get a handle on how do you even date? And I was in Tallahassee at the time. And there were two gay bars that I would go to, see the same people, chit-chat, whatever. And it was one of those things, I want to say it was around the time I was getting close to graduating college, I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do? And by that point, I had been supporting myself pretty regularly. Like, I had a buffer of safety from my mom. But other than that, that was it. Like, I had no other help. I was paying my own rent late all the time, but I was paying it. I had a job paying minimum wage with the USDA, and then they hired me as a consultant for one more year after I graduated. And it was just this weird realization, I want to say 2006, 2007, that I'm never going to have that future life. So I had to mourn it. And then on top of mourning that, I had to be like, wait, am I gay dead at 30? I'm like, what the fuck do I do now? And it was weird because, like I said, the only gay people I had been exposed to, like, they had their lives together, but it wasn't like I think I only knew two couples that were pretty much ironclad. One I had gone to their wedding. The other ones were just hemming and hawing on getting married, and they finally did when it was legalized. But it was one of those things where it was like, I had no concept of like what being older and gay was, other than like the old guys at the bar that owned a home, but they were like still going to the bar in their like 70s. And I was like, no, like, I don't know how I feel about this, but like, that's what you do when you're gay and past your prime when you turn 30. And it was a weird panic. And then in the middle of all that, I had moved down here. I knew three people. I had just met you. I went to like the nefarious coffee group that I recently found out that people on the other side of the country heard about. And I wasn't fitting in very well. And I lucked the fuck out with my friends, Mike and Lauren, who were just like, no, they're all weird. They're just acting like they're not. And it was just one of those things where I was like, yeah, I haven't been around more than four gay people as friends. So like now at this point in my life, most of my friends are gay or queer or like some flavor of queer. It's all relative now. So, and it's so funny because I think my idealized version of like what it means to be gay and older, it's pretty much like turned to dust and burned down, because it's like, for any young people listening or young-ish people listening, it's all fake. It's all smoke and mirrors. People know how to put their life together in the way that works for them. Nobody can put their life together for you, or nobody can put your life together, your future together for you. Only you can make your own future. And that even means if you're a couple. Like, I know plenty of couples who have their own thing going, and they will build their own future. And if their partner wants to come along, awesome. If not, they've got to work on some shit. So it's one of those things, and for me, it was never a gentle journey. I'm literally driving down the road listening to like Madonna's Holiday, and I'm like, I'm going to have to adopt children if I want children. That's not legal in every state. And then the dominoes start to fall, and you're like, ah, like pulling on the side of the road and listening to Every Rose Has Its Thorns while you're crying. And I was 27, and I'm like, why am I already going through a midlife crisis? So it's definitely weird. So I would have to say my idealized version right now is to just buy a house. Maybe Jane's still kicking. Or maybe I've gotten there's a canine job I've been thirsting after for a really long time. It's supposed to open, but it's a government job, and Lord knows that could be 5-6 years from now. But ideally, I would love to be doing that job in Georgia with my own place, with my dog, preferably Jane. If not, you know, I'll be working as canine handler. There's or one of the beagles that's now up for adoption of the 1,000 beagles that are out there for adoption right now, you know, with the dog. And, you know, maybe kind of having a much more intimate relationship with my family, because, like, it's kind of touch and go. I love a handful of them. The other ones, you know, y'all are kind of bitches. If I send y'all episodes, I know y'all listen sometimes. So just saying. Some of y'all are shits. So, you know, it's one of those things where I had to go from this grandiose, like, It went from wife, kids, like 2.5 kids, pet in a house, to like me and my husband, like owning a pet store. I don't know, it was weird. Owning a pet store by the time we're 35 and settling down, never to go to another bar or strip club or sex club ever again, to now I'm 48. And me and my two husbands are going to the bathhouse, and then afterwards we get euros. So it's very fluid
afterwards.
Now. Yeah,
and at least it's after.
And really, the only thing. I mean, as of right now, I'm like. I mean, I can live that life now, but like, sharing that with somebody in the future would be awesome. But at the same time, my future is no longer tethered to like having a husband, or, you know, it's more tethered towards like personal growth than it is, you know, that stereotypical, like you go from wife to husband and you literally just like cut out wife, put husband, and you're like, I'm gay and 30 and now I'm done. Like, no. So
yeah,
it's definitely. So what would your idealized, like, let's say 10, 15 years from now.
Oh, wait. Before I even talk about that, I actually want to circle back to something you were talking about where you had said that, you know, you had two like couple friends that you had early on and, you know, having kind of like those mentors. You know, I never had that, which is, it's very difficult. And one of the things that I always kind of thought about, like literally when I came out, I had my first boyfriend, and that was about it. I think he was the only other gay in my life. And it was very much like everything else was centered around like I had a couple of friends, but they were all straight. I don't know where they are on any spectrums right now, because I don't keep in touch with anybody. Honestly, like when I came to Florida, everything changed. Like I kind of lost my entire previous life, because a lot of my life in New York was centered around a lot of straights. I had a couple of gay friends. I eventually made a couple of gay friends, but I didn't have really close, like, mentor-ish relationships with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, because by the time that I became friends with them, I was now creeping up into my mid-20s. And at that point, you're kind of out of that that mentor-ish stage, because you're in your mid-20s. People just kind of feel like, oh, well, you know how to maneuver through life. And it's like, no, I don't. I barely know anything right now. And, you know, have a couple of friends, and I would kind of like, whatever. And like, I had one really good friend, who unfortunately, because of some stuff that I did and ways that I acted in the past, like, we're not friends anymore. And that's one of the only real friendships that carried over into Florida, and ended up losing that. And that was on me. And one day I'll figure out a way to be able to make amends for that in my life. But, but then I got to Florida, and it still was like, I didn't really have any couple friends, didn't have any way to get to know like how to date or how to like adjust or handle situations like that. So I just kind of had to do my own thing. And it's funny, because I still don't know a lot of shit like in life. And, you know, I look at it and say, how would my life be different if I had a mentor, or I had somebody that I could sit and talk to and mm-hmm. ask questions about things in life? And then I look at like drag families, and I sit there and I go, these houses are a lot of that. You know, if you've watched Pose, mm-hmm. you get to see a fictionalized yet pretty accurate depiction of what, you know, these ball houses were like, which, you know, became the blueprint for like drag houses in essence outside of the ballroom culture. And there was there was that mentorship, there was that guidance, that being able to fall back and rely on, being able to ask questions or talk to somebody that was your family, that wasn't your actual, you know, blood family. Because sometimes it's hard to hear, but sometimes your family isn't the be all and end all, and exactly. Your chosen family can be that much more of a powerful bond and role in your life. And sometimes you need that. And there was actually a point where, as silly as it would sound, because I've dabbled in drag, but that's not a thing that I do all the time. That's not my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to form a quote unquote house didn't feel right. Didn't feel like it fit. It felt not to say appropriating it, because it's still queer culture, but it felt like this very odd thing to do. And like, there was a little part of me that wanted to create a little den and be a mama bear.
Yeah.
To, you know, younger people that need that connection, and try to be, even if I don't have all the answers, to try to be that for somebody else. And it really never happened. And then I will say this, I was walking Havoc. I think it was just walking Havoc. I might have had Alice with me too the first time. And I ran into this guy walking here in Chicago, and he was walking his little golden doodle, which should have been my first instinct to know that he was a homosexual, but I'm a gay of a certain age. We don't assume, because we don't want to get beat up and killed.
Yep. There's elder millennial gays that we're always cautious mm-hmm. about that shit.
Yep. Yep. The exes and the elder millennials we're all just like, I mean, you could be sucking my dick and I'd still be like, I'm not sure. But I, you know, struck up a conversation, and then he said something, and I was like, oh, so you're family. And he's like, what? And I was like, you're gay. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh. He's like, yeah, I was talking to this older guy at the bar, and he said that, and I didn't know what it meant. And I was like, oh, dear God. Which is the first part where that was when I felt my back go out, and I was like, oh, I'll get my walking stick, youngin. But then I mentioned something, like, we're still talking. And I said something about the hanky code, and he had no idea what it was. And I was like, well, it was the system of being able to, signal to other gay men what your kinks and your fetishes were. And he's like, why couldn't you just check out his, scruff profile? And I was like, because it was the 80s. Like, we didn't have that back in the day. Now you can just go find them on the apps and read all their kinks right there. But it's so crazy how the younger generation looks at everything, and there's so much information that's just readily available mm-hmm. to them, that in a lot of ways houses and things like that don't hold the same weight to some of them.
Yeah,
there are still and it's predominantly queer BIPOC communities that's a little bit more prevalent, because the networking and the resources aren't as strong, especially when it comes down to the biological family standpoint. So I sit there and I go, how would my life have been different if I had had some more people to be able to help guide me and put me on the right path. And I kind of just churned through friendships until, God, at this point, almost 15 years ago, maybe a little less than that, when I ended up hanging out with and liking a dude, because, as soon as I meet somebody, I'm like, they're cute, I like them. And then it doesn't work out, and it just becomes whatever. And that person ended up becoming my best friend. And then from there, I started to build out and actually finally build my own family. Mm-hmm. And I was able to build out what I consider to be the most important people in my life right now. So it's kind of crazy to see like the progression of how my life is shaped up because of that. And yeah, the butterfly effect of if I knew what I knew now and I went back in time, essentially I would change one thing and that would just destroy everything else, because my entire trajectory would be different. But now, circling back out of that, I wanted to go to that because when you were talking about it, it just struck such a chord with me. But yeah, the ideal is weird for me. I don't necessarily have an ideal. I don't necessarily need a husband, a white picket fence, adopted kids, and all of that. Like, I'm actually A-okay with not having kids to take care of. I, at this point, I know that the bloodline doesn't stop with me, which is always the thing that parents are like, keep the bloodline going. Like, really? Like, have you seen our bloodline? Does it need to?
I said the same. My mom was like, I was talking about adoption when I was younger, when I was like coming to grips with like, I'm making no baby with a lady. And I was like, oh, I think I might adopt him. My mom was like, you don't want to pass on my genes? And I'm like, the genes for what? Alcoholism, depression, and allergies? I was like, tell me, Gail, what's so special about our genes? That's when I first started calling her Gail. I was like, you tell me, what about our genes? Like, other than your looks, I was like, you look great. I'm not going to lie. We age gracefully, but other than that, what you got? And she just stares at me and I'm like, is that something Granny told you to say? I feel like that's something Granny told you to say. That's not a thing you wanted to say.
Like, at that point, I'd have been like, you can leave your best pair of Levi's to me in your will, and I will pass those jeans on to somebody, because it ain't going to be our genetics to a child.
Right.
And for a long time, for the first 11 ish years of my life, I was an only child. So literally my lineage, my bloodline would have stopped with me at that, like with that mindset, which I didn't give a shit about. That's not my concern.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I also now have a half brother and a full blood sister that are 6 months apart. Y'all do the math and figure all that out. Same father. And and I have a half sister who's younger. So yes, I know the name, you know, when the girls get married, they change their names and it's not the same. I don't give a shit. But there are now three other sires from my father that can pass the genes on down the line. I don't know what that's going to look like. Whatever, that's fine. That burden is off my shoulders. But there's always going to be a romanticized notion in my head about wanting to be with someone that makes me happy and I make them happy. And that's really the goal at this point. There's no, I don't look at it any other way anymore. I look at it as I want someone to be a part of my life that is going to make me happy and that I'm going to make them happy. And whatever path we choose to travel together, whether that's the two of us, whether that's, you know, I haven't dabbled into any poly stuff, whether it's just whatever, like I don't know. But I'm learning and I'm trying to be open and communicative. And that's been an issue that I've had in my life for a long time. That caused a lot of issues in a lot of different aspects of my life. So when I think about the future, I don't put a lot of concretes or solids onto anything. I really try to just take it from the standpoint of, am I going to be happy? And there's still a lot of work I need to do on making myself happy with myself. Mm-hmm. Because that's a challenge every day. And if there's going to be somebody else involved, then they need to be happy with themselves as well. And we need to work together to do what we can to make each other happy. And I know that sounds very, very sappy and wishy-washy and not very, very ethereal in kind of the scope of it. But it's my last breakup shook everything in my world to the foundation. And those who were around through everything know more of the details and know like what changed and how that changed my life. But I also walked out of it alive. You know, and that's not to say like, you know, that there was a threat of violence, but you know, when your world gets shaken that badly, some people can't handle it and don't know how to get out from underneath the rubble. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't something that I just walked away from the next day and was like, okay, let's carry on with life. But I also walked away looking at myself, because I had to take a step back and look at everything, because there's no vilifying and there's no putting the blame solely on one set of shoulders. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of blame that's put on other shoulders because of choices that were made. But I had to step back and say, what did I do? What were the things that I did and did not do to make a better situation or to figure out what was going on or what I could have done differently? And in doing that, it also made me stop and look at what things I needed to work on in myself. Communication, opening up, what are the things that I need, being able to listen and have conversations like that. And that was the biggest thing that came out of everything. And the thing that I took and I'm trying to work on, am I saying that right here, right now, I'm the best I've ever been? I'm better than I was because I'm trying to be better than I was. And taking those steps is huge. And that's, something that even before, doing therapy, I recently had to stop, but because of some other things that had happened. But it even before that, I was going through a situation where I things were happening and I made a point of stopping and having conversations with that person because of the lessons I learned. And then trying to put boundaries and say that I wasn't going to let myself go through the same things that have happened in the past. And then eventually getting to a point where I realized I was letting myself have those things happen to me again and be treated that same way and having to walk away from a situation because as much as I cared, I was putting myself into that same situation all over again. So for that, I think I've grown, and that's a huge part of the reason why I don't assign a scenario to the ideal anymore. And I more take it to the emotional place of this is what I want for myself, and this is what I want from somebody who's going to walk that path with me, and will it happen? Who the fuck knows? Am I hopeful about it? Not especially.
I feel the same. It's what I like.
You never fucking know.
It's a tightrope. It is a tightrope of like, I'm gonna do this for me, but like also like you don't want to be abrasive and be like, bitch, I don't need you. but I know, I get it. It's a tightrope you have to walk, especially when you're piling on like stuff for your future goals, like personal goals. Your motivation for those goals, it can get exhausting. It can completely burn you out. And sometimes it's just easier just to like look across the bar and be like, you know what I really want over here is to find out where that dude got those cheese sticks, because that looks really good right now. Those cheese sticks look like the partner I need in this moment. So yeah, I completely get it. It's sometimes you're hopeful, sometimes you're not, and you just have to work on yourself. You just have to get to your version of happy, or your version of acceptance with your own future. It's definitely a task. It's a task and a half. So yeah. No, it was beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
I was like, not me going from sentimental to self-deprecating humor all in the course of a 20-minute diatribe.
Ladies and gentlemen, not us. So
I'm telling you, I could not write these stories and perform them any better than I do on this podcast when I just speak off the cuff, because none of this is scripted. But God help me, like I could only like I sit there. Yesterday, I think it was. I was like, you know what? Or maybe 2 days ago. I'm like, I really should just start a fucking story time on TikTok. Get on there with all the kids.
You should.
And just start, like, but I could never tell, like, that whole thing, that last 20 minutes would be amazing. With that right at the end, that just punched.
Am I
couldn't do it any better than I just did it there. And it just would not feel the same.
Oh no.
All my best materials here on the podcast.
But I like how you gave and you're sitting there and I'm just like, oh my god, I did it. I got it. I got the goods. I could see the love, like all the things he wants to get out, like the personal stuff, and then I'm like, I just want somebody to torture my friends with. I want a partner in crime. And like, and I, somebody asked me that one time, like for a future boyfriend or husband. And I'm like, partner in crime. And they're like pranks or actual crime? And the look on my face, they said the look on my face was the most terrifying thing. I can't replicate it, but I just said yes. And they were like, that's no, that's not. I'm like, yes, more crime, more gay. Like,
have you ever heard of Romanofsky and Phillips?
Yes.
The gay musical duo from like the late 80s, early 90s. As soon as you say partner in crime, it takes me back to one of the interludes where I don't remember which is which, because I only, there's one recording and it's a live recording of them doing their songs. They do these interludes and like kind of set up the songs, and one is talking about how his mother couldn't say the word gay. Like, she would come up with all these euphemisms, and he was like, one time she signed a card with love to you and your partner in crime. Like, that's for the youngins out there, Romanofsky and Phillips. We'll have to, BJ does a lot of the social posting. I'm going to have to send you some YouTube links. One, to listen to if you haven't listened to. And then two, to put up for our listeners to enjoy. But it's they're fantastic.
But yeah, so, but yeah, just for everybody out there, like, who has these weird, or I don't say, you might be able to obtain them depending on your situation, but the future is never written in stone. We all have our own things that we've been taught that we have to do. No, you don't. You don't gotta do shit. Yeah, you don't gotta do nothing. As you can see out there in the world, Republicans do whatever the fuck they feel like, regardless of whether it's decent, kind, or, you know, just weird. So, like, the takeaway from all this in this episode I just have for everybody is just your future is what you make it. Your goals are valid. Your feelings on your future are valid. And just get out there and, like, try to be better than you were yesterday. That's my thing, and that's semi my goal for my life and my future, is just to try to be a little better than yesterday. Sometimes I set the bar really low, sometimes I set the bar really high. But like I said, I just try to do better by the people I care about and occasionally the podcast listeners, so
every so often. No, absolutely. And it's funny because part of the reason why we don't usually do two-person episodes is because it ends up just, you know, I like to hide behind other people being able to answer questions too. And this just felt like a damn straight out interview session, which is weird because usually I'm the one, the quote unquote interviewer chair. So, but I do appreciate you putting this topic together for the show, BJ. Dear listeners, if you enjoyed this episode and maybe you have some suggestions on topics for a Now That's What I Call Gay Life that you would want to hear discussed with, BJ, myself, or just in general, maybe the B team that BJ is going to come up with to do some of these, just let us know in the comments, email us. You can find all of the ways to get in touch with us, our socials, our emails, all that is on our website, flameonshow.com. Again, to circle back to our Patreon, again, thank you to every single member that is subscribed to the Patreon. All of our patrons are fantastic. We love you and appreciate your support and your continued support throughout all of this. We're going to get everything up to date sooner rather than later. That's going to be my focus over the next couple of weeks. And you can join our Patreon at any of the four levels that are available. Our house level is our top tier, where you can also become a guest co-host on one of our roundup episodes. Joel has been the only one who's taken me up on that so far. Some of the other house members are just there being supportive, which that is your prerogative. Nobody is forced to come onto the show. But if you're out there and you're like, hey, I want to jump on and join the topics, by all means, become a house member, come on. And as if you've been listening, you know that Joel's been on a couple of different episodes, both Drag Race and our regular episodes. So yeah, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/flameonshow. And the flameonshow.com website has links to that, as well as our threadless shop, where you can get your own Flame On swag. With that being said, dear listeners, thank you to BJ for this topic and leading the conversation on this. Thank you to all of you out there listening and supporting us, even just by tuning in on a biweekly pattern. And yeah, until we meet again in 2 weeks for our roundup episode, bye, bitch.
Do crime.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.